Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am necessary to myself. That's kind of an obvious statement, isn't it? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I am necessary to myself. My goodness sakes. How often I forget that. How often I do things for others and concern myself with what others want and what others are thinking about and what others would like, and I forget I'm necessary to myself. This morning as I left the Hermitage, ready to take my walk with Rex around the mountainside, I fed him a cookie after he had his breakfast, and he was so full of joy and happiness. And as I stepped outside the gate, he decided he was going to do some aerobatics. And he was spending almost half his time up in the air. And he was bouncing up in the air and jumping up in the air and jumping around me and wagging his tail, and his eyes were sparkling with joy. He was so happy. He's necessary to himself, that's for sure. And he jumped up on top of me, and he jumped around me, and he just wanted to say, he's so glad to see me home. Because yesterday, most of the day, I was in town, and so I didn't have a chance to see him. But when I got home, oh, he was so happy. He was standing at the gate, his head at the top of the gate, looking over the top and saying, well, Dad, you got back home again. How wonderful, how wonderful. And we went in and played for a while, and just had a good time. And you know, I think to myself, I'm playing with Rex. I am not playing with Rex, I'm playing with myself. I am necessary to myself. And as I hug him and as I love him and as I throw him around and toss him up and down, 95 pounds, sure, nothing to it. He helps, of course, by jumping, but I toss him all around, and he has such a good time, and I have such a good time. You know, we're more necessary to ourselves than we ever realize. It's so important for us to take time to enjoy ourselves, to enjoy whatever it is that pleases us in life, to enjoy walking, as I enjoy walking, and I think, my goodness, I have letters to answer. I have writing to do. I have so many things on my desk. Ellen comes in and looks at my desk and she says, my goodness sakes, where shall I put this pile of mail for you? There's so many piles already on your desk. Well, she sticks it in the middle, naturally. And I pay attention to it, go through it, and answer whatever needs to be immediately answered. And you know, sometimes I have a stack of mail that doesn't get answered for a couple months. And when I come upon it to answer it, I read the mail and I think to myself, this is why I didn't answer it. Because now I have just the right answer for their question. And I write a beautiful, sincere, powerful letter, and I send it off to them, and they write back and say, wow, it took you a while to get that to me, but man, that was the perfect answer. And you know, in between time, I realized I was necessary to myself, and I realized that I would say these things to myself and do these things to myself and come across with all these wonderful, positive, dynamic ideas that I had to do. And, you know, this is all too true. We so often forget that we have to come up with those ideas. We have to come up with those thoughts that say that we're necessary to ourselves. Because it's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that, that's not important. That's not important. Last night, as I was sitting in this the parking lot of the Walgreens drugstore next to the filling station, I attempted to start the motorhome to bring it home, and it wouldn't start. It would not start. And I did all the little things that I'd heard us doing in the past, knocking on the starter to get it going. And so finally I just decided I'll call the AAA and have them come over and do their magic. Well, I called the AAA, and they said it would be an hour and a half before they would get there because it was such a great demand. And so I didn't expect them until 8 o'clock. So I went to Coco's, a restaurant next door, and I had myself a nice supper. And as I ate the supper, I just was relaxed because I knew they wouldn't be there. And I enjoyed myself, just realizing I'm necessary to myself. And the girl said, "What would you like?" And I said, "Well, what is your specialty today?" And she told me, and she served me very nicely. And then, just as she finished serving me, she says to her customers, "I'm going on my break now, and this girl will cover up for me. She will take care of all of your needs." And so the girl was very pleasant, very thoughtful, but she had a good appetite. And she's a little fat. And as she looked at me, she said, yeah, I know what you'd like. You'd like this or you'd like that." And she said, "You like certainly a dessert. You want a dessert, don't you?" Well, I hadn't planned on the dessert, but I thought, well, since she's so insistent, maybe a dessert would be good for me. So I looked at the menu, and there was a pie, pecan pie, one of my very favorite pies that I don't eat too often because, boy, they are filling and good. But I said to her, "Okay." And she says, "And we better warm that with some ice cream too, you know." And I said, "How about that?" So she came back a few minutes later and said, "You know, we're out of pecan pie." And I said, "Well, for goodness sakes, what do you think I should have?" So we ended up with a little sundae. And it was a delicious little thing and just really hit the spot. And the girl was quite busy. And so the manager was walking around talking to people here and there. And he came over to me and he says, "Well, would you like some more coffee? Would you like this? Would you like that?" And I said, "No, just the bill, please." And so he brought me the bill and took care of all the details. And it was just as though I had three or four people in the restaurant waiting just for me, waiting upon this guy who is necessary to himself. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I am necessary to myself. And I live a very happy and very fulfilled life. And when I realize that I'm necessary to myself, my dog realizes I'm necessary to myself. And he jumps and bounces and he wants to say, "Hey, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious." And of course, he's right. And when I go in a restaurant, the people immediately want to say, "Hey, you're fantastic. All these other customers here, oh, they're good, but you're wonderful." Because I know and I think I am necessary to myself. Now, what about you? Are you necessary to yourself? Do you enjoy being with yourself? Right now, I'm walking the 3-mile path around the property, up and down the hills and up and down the mountainside and down on the plateau and up again, and just having a wonderful walk. And every couple of seconds, Rex sticks his nose out of the bushes and says, "I'm right here. I'm right next to you." And then he dashes off to some other wonderful, exciting adventure. Always coming back, always saying, "I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right next to you." You see, we have this life to live. And this life is X number of years. X meaning the undefinable figure that we haven't really put on it yet. And What are we going to do with it? Are we going to feel that we're necessary to ourselves? Are we going to like ourselves? Are we going to have a good time? Well, if we aren't, that's our choice. Nobody really cares. Everyone is doing their own thing, and that's what they should be doing. But are you doing your own thing? Are you necessary to yourself? I'm necessary to myself. And I enjoy everything I do just super. And I forgot to tell you, I went back to the motorhome, which was across the street from Coco's, and I sat there, and I had bought a couple glasses and various things for the house, and I was taking the labels off, and this gigantic tow truck pulls up in front of me. Of course, our motorhome is 36 feet long, and it's about 12 feet high. Well, this gigantic vehicle pulls up, and as it pulls up, out comes a very charming lady. A lady tow truck driver. Why not? So I get up and finish putting the labels in the trash and go out the door, and I say, "Wow, do you have a big rig there?" And she says, "The better to haul you with." She says, "But now, here's what I want to do. I want to find out why it doesn't start. And we're going to do a couple of things." And I explained to her what I had done and that it didn't work. And she says, "Well, now, I'm going to make it work." And I said, "I like that attitude." And so she went underneath and she tapped it with her wrench and things that had happened, that had worked, made it work in the past, but it didn't make it work now because we'd put new parts in there. So then she came into the motorhome and lifted up the top of the engine inside the motorhome between the driver and the co-pilot seat. And as she was doing this, she was explaining how these things work. And she was explaining how her boss had just bought himself a new $300,000 motorhome, and he never goes anyplace. But he had to have this wonderful motorhome. And then she reached down and she shook a wire and had me turn the ignition. Nothing happened. Then she reached down and shook another batch of wires. Still nothing happened. And then she reached down and shook another batch of wires, and vroom, everything went right into motion. The motorhome worked perfectly. And then she said, "All right, shut it off." And I said, "Shut it off?" She says, "Yes, shut it off." So I shut it off. And now she said, "Start it again." So I started it again, and it worked just perfect. It worked just wonderful. She says, "You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe that what you've done is right." She says, "Now, when you take this into the garage, just tell them that this bundle of wires over here, when you shook them, it started the motorhome. Before you shook them, the motorhome wouldn't start. And that might give them a lead." So all was just fine. And she was explaining to me the hauling business and the AAA, AAA business and how everything works and things like that. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I'm being charged by the hour for what she's saying. And after she finished, I said, "Do you need my card or anything?" And I showed her my AAA card, and she says, "Nope, that's all I need to do is just see that you really got one, and then you're okay." And so a few minutes later, she backed up and let me drive away, and I drove over to the garage and left it there, and this morning we'll probably go and pick it up and it'll all be in perfect shape. Now, why did that have to happen? Well, it happened because I wanted those little adventures of meeting those beautiful people. I had the wonderful adventure of meeting the fellow in the drugstore. I said to him, "I'd like to lie down underneath my motorhome and tap a few things, and I don't have any cardboard or anything." And I said, I saw you making cardboard things there and opening boxes and taking things out. He said, we just finished putting it all in the dumpster trashster, and it's all chopped up. And I said, oh. He said, well, you can buy a box. I said, no. And I said, there's a bundle of papers over there with Walgreens on it telling you all about your specials. Can I take a handful of them and put them under me? And he says, don't ask me. He says, I cannot give you permission to do any of those things. You take what you want, you know, and here's a bag. And he gave me a bag so I could take a bundle of them, and I put them out there. And he was just so thoughtful. He was just so considerate and kind. I had a chance to meet all of these beautiful people. And then, to top it off, I went to the garage. And here it was 8:15 when I went to the garage, 8:30 almost. And who should be driving up there but our agent that we worked with? He was coming to the garage to bring a propane tank there to fill it because he was having a barbecue that night. And so I explained all the details to him, and he says, well, we'll have it ready for you first thing in the morning. And we had a nice chat, and he said, do you have a ride? And I said, yeah. I said, Ellen's coming for me. He said, because if you need a ride, I would have given you a ride. And I said, you're fantastic, Jeff. You're an amazing man. And then I wished him a happy evening and so forth. And a few moments later, Ellen drove up, and we drove back to the ranch. You see, the miracles, the wonder, the magic of living and realizing that you're necessary to yourself, but making out of every adventure in your life a true adventure, an adventure of joy and harmony and love and happiness, a true adventure of excitement, because that's what life is all about. So, have a wonderful day. I know that I love you. I love you. I love you.